Children, if you want to come on down here and join me for a few moments, I'd appreciate it. Come on down. Come on, Jeremiah, right here, brother. Oh, I tell you what, it's comfortable up here. Oh, James, where are you going to sit? Come on, Will. Come on, Austin. And I didn't know shoes were optional today. Question is when shoes are optional, how about did you wash your feet? Was that optional? That's my job. Good. Got a question for you this morning before I share a scripture for you, okay? Now, just by show of hands, did sometime this week, did you want to do something and someone in your life, it could be a parent, it could just be somebody else, said these words to you? Wait. Did anybody get told this week to wait before they did something? Raise your hand if you got told that. Anybody? We got a couple of honest people. Oh, yeah. Did anybody tell you all to wait this week before you? Yeah. Okay. A lot of husbands put their hands up on that one out there. So, that's right. Well, this morning, Dave, why don't you come over here so I can see you, man? That plant's blocking your good looks. All right? Well, this morning, I want to share a scripture with you before you go with Miss Andrea. And it's Psalm 27:14. And it says this, "Wait for the Lord, be strong, and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord." In just a few minutes after you guys leave, I'm going to talk to the bigger kids about waiting on God also. I think a lot of times for any of us, no matter what age we are, sometimes it's hard to wait, isn't it? Because we want what we want when we want it, right? But sometimes we have to be taught a lesson, and that is that God's best comes to us when we're willing to wait. You know, there have been times in my life where when I've been in a hurry, that I didn't wait on God's best, and I didn't get His best, and I just settled for what Dane wanted. I knew a guy one time that at night, he went swimming at night, and he walked up to a diving board in someone's backyard, and he was getting ready to jump off the diving board, and it was completely dark, and someone yelled at him to wait, and it was a good thing because he didn't know it, but the pool was completely empty of water. He would have dove off the diving board and hit concrete, and it probably wouldn't have been a good thing. He probably would have been hurt very bad. Yes. So today I want you to think about something. I want you to know that wait is a good thing when it's dealing with God. So when God's telling you in your heart or through someone who cares about you to wait, it's a good thing. So ask God to give your heart courage and strength as you wait for God's good things. Okay? I'm going to pray for us and then y'all go with Miss Andrea. And Miss Andrea has something for you at the end of the kids' zone time if you're willing to wait. Right, Miss Andrea? Okay, so let's pray, and then you can go with Miss Andrea. Let's pray, Will. Father God, we thank you, Lord, that you love us, and you are so patient with us. God, you just love us so much. Father, help us to wait on you, to trust you, strengthen our hearts, give us courage as we wait on you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Most of the time when I'm preaching, the teenagers are brave enough to ask me, so how long is it going to be or something like that? So, John, did you tell me that this morning we've only got, 14 slides to go through? About 14? So, yeah, you guys know as we get started, we only got 14 of them to get through this morning, all right? So, but I am glad to see you this morning. Dusty and Audrey, they're on vacation for this week, so be praying for them. I can witness firsthand that I heard Rick pray for Charles and Forrest. Both of those gentlemen have told me just in the last 24 to 36 hours, they are thankful they're in a church that they know are praying for them. They are thankful for that. So keep praying for those men, whatever God has next for them. They are covered in our prayers, and we agree with them to be praying for them and with them. Okay? So let's pray right now. Father God, we come, these few moments we have together, may they be pleasing and honoring to you. We thank you for the privilege of gathering in this building to worship you in song as the body gathers. Lord, I pray you wouldn't just speak to us through my words, but Lord, through the circumstances of our lives, you are speaking, you are teaching. And God, I pray we'd be open to the Holy Spirit today as He speaks to us. God, as we look at your word, we bless you, we honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, today's the title of the message is, Wait a Minute. True story, I read this week that just recently in California, a man was arrested and charged with discharging a firearm inside a residential home. His commode would not flush because his young daughter had stopped it up with a hairbrush. He became so frustrated that he shot the commode 5 times. And he was arrested for that. David, you can understand that. Okay. You know, and I know, that we live in a society that is instant gratification. To be told to wait for something is very difficult. We hurry up and wait all the time. We go to the stores, we go down the road. We always seem to be in some sort of hurry. And I'm not sure that we've understood that God can work in the wait. That today, wherever you are in your life, whatever's going on, whatever's swirling, that you might be in the wait. Because I believe that in any season of our lives, even when we're active, when we're productive, we're also in the wait of life. And my first point this morning, we get ready to look at a couple of scriptures John's going to throw up there for us. Isaiah 40:31 says this, "But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not be faint." And the next one, John, please. Psalm 27:14 should sound familiar. I just read it to them. "Wait for the Lord, be strong, and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord." My first point for us to consider this morning would be, though, is what does it mean to wait on God? What does it really mean to wait on what God's doing in your life? Because I'm sure that if I took the time to bring that whiteboard over here and let you list the things that you're waiting on to hear from God on in your own personal life, the list would probably be extensive. And maybe some of those things on the list you've been waiting on for a long time. I don't know. Maybe you've been praying for someone's salvation for 40 years and they still have not received Christ. But you still are in the wait mode of that. But what does it mean to wait on God? Well, let's remember a few things. Waiting on God is not being lazy. Waiting on God is not going to sleep. Waiting on God is not giving you nor I permission to just check out. God is not saying, "Wait on me, go do something else while I get everything ready for the next thing in your life." God is not giving us permission today to be lazy, to go to sleep, and also to not abandon an effort of being close to Him. You see, when God speaks to us, and if it's "wait on me," He's not saying, "Go sit idly by and do nothing." The word "wait" in Hebrew is very close to a phrase of to entrench. So to entrench means to get ready for something, to dig into God, to dig into Him, and to get as close to Him as possible. So what does it mean to wait on God? It means to be actively listening. It means actively pursuing His will in your life. It means be willing to submit your entire being to Him. It means allowing yourself at times to just rest and to be before God, to be in His presence. The waiting for God is really, part of it is allowing Him to work in your spirit, in your heart so much that you're literally willing to sit still and wait on Him to act. That you're not going to fight Him for control. Because the psalmist says, "Wait for the Lord and be strong." Waiting on the Lord is not a permission to mentally become, basically just kind of be watered down in your relationship with God. Waiting on Him is seeking His presence. We have numerous examples in Scripture where the men and women in Scripture waited on God. I think something that we so often forget, we can read a few paragraphs or a few scriptures or a page and turn the page and someone in the Bible, especially in the Old Testament, and we say, "Wow, God worked really fast." Really? How many years did it take Noah to build an ark? How many years did it take Abraham to finally have Isaac? Over and over you see examples that just because we read a few scriptures didn't mean God acted like this. God was up to... Doesn't it sound easy? I was just leaving Tybee Island last night after the rainstorm. For those who've been on Tybee Island after a rainstorm, you understand that waiting is part of it. And then as Kathy and I got off the island, we found out that it wasn't just the rainstorm. Then in front of Fort Pulaski on Highway 80, there was that rolling roadblock where all the police officers were stopping people and checking them for everything. So Therefore, we had a long time to practice wait on the law enforcement to check people's identifications and insurances and stuff. But you know what I had to do? I had to remind myself, that's a good thing. That's a good thing. That's not a bad thing. Just because I was inconvenienced at that moment doesn't mean that's a bad thing. Waiting on the Lord is a good thing. It is not an inconvenience. It's not permission to hurry up. Because I know probably every one of us in this room, and the truth is, I'm looking at some faces that I'm not going to call out, that you drive down Abercorn like you stole the vehicle that you're in. Okay? All right? And that's true, isn't it? You know, if you need confession time, we'll have that at the end. So what does it mean to wait on God? Allowing you to trust Him that He is working on your behalf. Point number two. What to do while we wait, though? What in the world are we going to do while we wait? Well, how about we entrench ourselves, we dig in, and we do that which God has told us the last time to do? How are we being obedient with the last thing God's placed in our hands? Are you being obedient with the relationships He's given you? Are you being obedient with the blessings He has given you? Because part of the waiting on the Lord is Him waiting on you and me to be obedient with what He has placed in our hands. If I'm not obedient with what God has given me, then it says very plainly in Scripture, He's not going to bless me with more, but we got to get out of an American mentality is, and the more doesn't mean the stuff. I'm thinking that He's talking about, how about some more joy? How about some more peace? How about some more faith? How about some more faithfulness in my relationships? How about some more evangelizing for His name? How about seeing the power of God come through? So ask yourself today, am I being faithful with what God is giving me? He's teaching you and I to focus. In our ADD, ADHD society, I think that all of us, on a regular basis, God's teaching us, can you focus? Can you allow me to prune away that which is not of me that you're putting time and effort into that means nothing? That means absolutely nothing. I think He's trying to focus us. I think while you're waiting, you can also claim His peace. Opening up His Word and looking at the Scripture and saying, God, I want what You said was in this Word. I want some joy. I want to be courageous in the face of temptation. I want to be courageous in the face of adversity. I want to be courageous in the face of even good news, because I want to be faithful that when I hear good news, that I didn't create it on my own. I just read a story this week also about a man that went to visit a congregation. And while he was visiting there, a gospel singer showed up to sing some of his songs that he had written. And while he was there, while the singer was there, he talked about the songs that he had written. And as the visitor left, they asked him about that, the gentleman who came to sing. And they said, well, I heard him talk about how great his music was, but I never heard him talk about how great God was. So that's a choice that you have to make, I believe, on a daily basis. What to do while you're waiting? Are you going to celebrate the greatness and the goodness of God, even in the middle of sometimes difficult circumstances? Or are you going to make it all about yourself? Because in our instant gratification world, when we're not satisfied instantly, our tendency is poor, pitiful me. Poor, pitiful me. God, You knew I needed such and such. Why didn't You come through? When I saw Forrest on Friday in the hospital, one of the first words out of his mouth was, he reached up to me like this, because this is what he did a lot. Let me have him, right? He said, I just want you to know the Holy Spirit's doing a great work. He's laying in a hospital bed, can't move his left side, can barely speak, and he says to me, the Holy Spirit's doing a great work. Hey, that tells me that's somebody that understands it's not all about him. What to do while we're waiting? Come to terms and comes to grips with, it's not all about you. It's not all about me. And look for His peace. Become dependent upon Him. Understand that He's the one providing the courage and the strength to get through the wait. He's doing it. You can go try to do it on your own, and all I believe I'm doing or you're doing is simply passing time. And therefore, back to what I've said to you already, we're not being good stewards of what God's given us. You've been given days. I've been given days. Are you being a good steward of the time God is giving you? Because you're here today, so He's still giving it. He's still pouring it into you. allowing you to have some more time. What do you do while you wait? Be strong. Take courage. God is up to good things in your life. Point number three. Fruit of waiting. The fruit of waiting. Being faithful with what God has given you allows God to bless you. God is glorified by your waiting. Some things you can experience through waiting. And maybe you need some of these today. You can experience God's renewal. Do you need a renewal today? Do you feel like you're just fractured, you're shattered, that you're just trying to do so many things? I told my brother Dave Baldwin up here a while ago, we were talking about multitasking. You know, my definition of multitasking for me, messing up a lot of things at one time. Okay? That's typically what happens. And because my wife is so generous and loving, she probably will just shake her head and not say anything negative, but that's the truth. You know, multitasking for me is messing up a lot of things at one time, but it's also I mess them up because I only get them about half done. Get them about half done. The fruit of waiting, renewal, peace, faith grows. And maybe for me, in my opinion today, guys, is you can start to realize that God has a purpose in the wait that will only be realized after the waiting is over and He has done a good work in you. And He's also got something else for you. That just to make you wait, He's not doing that. He's not just making you wait because He has nothing else to do. God has a sense of humor, but it's not a mean sense of humor. He's not out to make you go through difficult times just because He's a killjoy. And I know that for a lot of you, you know that to be true. But the next time you go through a difficult situation, how quick are we as followers of Christ to simply say, man, God, why did that happen to me? God, why did you let that happen? Well, let's wait a minute and let's let God show us more of the picture. Because part of the fruit of waiting is this. When we start to realize we see about that much, don't we? Don't we see about that much of our own life and the picture? I mean, right now in your life, if you're being honest with yourself, how much can you control? Yourself? But even at times, you feel out of control of yourself. It is difficult. But the fruit of waiting, I believe one of the things is understanding that the sovereignty of God, that He's working from your past and in your present and into your future, that those words that He has a plan for your life becomes a realization, that it becomes real, that those things that you've heard so many times in your life about, well, I know God loves me, but I just don't experience it. I don't feel it. I'm not sure of it. God's saying, well, wait and let me show you. Let me take over so you can experience my fullness today. A fruit of waiting, experiencing all of God. All of God. Look what it says in Isaiah 49:23. Those who hopefully wait for me will not be put to shame. Now, please read that correctly. It's not saying, I hope God can come through. I hope God's big enough. It's not what it's saying. It's saying those who put their hope in while they're waiting, in me while they're waiting, I'm not going to let them be put to shame. I'm not going to let them be put to shame. There are things in all of our lives today, guys, that we'll never understand on this side of heaven. We just have to accept that. There are things that happen in our lives we just don't understand on this side of heaven. But if you can start to have the fruit of waiting, then you will experience something on the inside that I believe it'll say something like this. It doesn't matter if I understand everything God does on this side of heaven in my life. I'm willing to trust Him. I'm willing to go with Him. I'm with Him no matter what. So wait a minute. Wait for the Lord to be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for Him. Don't go out on your own strength. Don't go out on your own ideas. But trust in Him. And what a beautiful thing we're in a body that you can gather around people to say, you know what? I'm struggling with waiting. I'm struggling with knowing what God's saying to me right now. That we can gather around one another and pray for one another and walk with one another. And like Forrest said to me on Friday, the Holy Spirit is doing a great work. For those who were not blessed to be at summer camp this year, God did a great work through the Holy Spirit. Amen? I'd be pointing at you guys over there. I got you guys sitting over there. All right. God did a great work, but He's not finished. He's going to continue doing great things. Activity and productivity are two different things. Church, it's time to be fruitful and productive. Not busy, just to be busy. But we're not going to be put to shame because we're putting our hope in an eternal God who loves us and who cares about us. So I challenge you this morning to go before God. What is He speaking to you about waiting on Him? Are you struggling with courage? Are you struggling with faith? Take heart, He says. Let me infuse you with the power of the Holy Spirit and watch what God does in your life. I challenge you because I know it's not easy. I know it's not easy. There might come a moment this afternoon where I get really, really impatient with something. And God will probably bring to mind that I have to practice what I preached. Because God does that. He does it in your life. Parents, how many times have you told your kids to do something and then you realize that your attitude or your behavior was, seemed to be that which you did not want to see in your own children? Huh? Is that the witness laugh over there, Dave? Guys, we're only going to do this through the strength and the power of a God who loves us. And in our society, I believe, to just put the period on the sermon today is this. In our society, experiencing God is experiencing Him in the wait, but that's powerful, powerful witnessing to a world that is in it for themselves, instantly gratifying themselves, wants it not right now, but wanted it yesterday, and wondering why they have to wait another moment when they think they deserve it. And you and I know what we deserve is not the good things of God, but the eternal separation from Him. But God in His grace and His mercy said, man, I love you. Wait on me and look what I'm doing. We're in this together. So this morning as I conclude, how's God speaking to your heart? You might need to put it on those little prayer cards that we'll take up at the end. We'll have some time of ministry because I just think God's always stirring. I think we need a little time to wrestle a little bit. Ask ourselves, are we willing to submit to what God's saying to us? So I'm going to pray for us. Our altar will be open. Rick and Regina will be up here, and I'll be up here if you want to come pray. Our life group leaders that are in here can surround us and be available for prayer too. So I'm going to pray for us, and then people will be available to pray with you about the things that God's stirring on your heart. Let's pray. Father, we're trusting You today for a great work through the Holy Spirit. Father, I believe You desire to do that. Lord, I believe You've been doing that all week long. God, as we turn this time to hear very clearly from You, I'm asking You to speak unmistakably. We bless You, we honor You in Jesus' name. Amen. Amy, you come on up. Parker, can't cry because I can't cry right now, okay? I mean, if you cry, then how am I going to get through this, huh? I heard Courtney's sick today. Okay. Well, this is our last Sunday until God says, Amy and Mike and Parker, go back to Savannah, Georgia. But in the meantime, in the wait, Amy and Parker will be leaving Wednesday to move to Wyoming, right?
That's right. Uh-huh.
So why don't you tell us a little bit more about that move? Like, where are you moving to and all that good stuff?
We are moving to Cheyenne, Wyoming. I kind of like to think of it as saddle up your horses, but that's okay. I'm glad you gave me a chance to talk because I really feel like I'm supposed to.
Okay.
Is that okay with you?
Sure.
Okay. All right. So it's just been really cool. ever since Wednesday when we had life group, it all started with Noah playing with the puzzle on the floor. And we were talking about how, you know, how what a good job he did. And there we are in small group, and Miss Carolyn's there too. And she was like, you know, how cool is it that we're just like this puzzle piece that we all fit together. And even though we're all in different places, that we're still a part of the body of Christ, and we all fit together. And which is so cool, because it doesn't matter where we are, we're still the body and we're still family. But it went from there where we started talking about, oh, have y'all seen the skit God Is God? You know, because it's one of those things. I think Terry made the comment about how we don't see God's story. We just see the piece right here. And so that song, ever since Wednesday, because we watched the God Is God skit, and if you've never seen it, you should YouTube it and watch it. But it's just beautiful. It's beautiful. And I don't want to give it away if you haven't seen it, so I'm not going to say any more about it. But go YouTube it. It's good. But anyway, that song, though, from Wednesday on has continued to play in my mind. And I thought, you know what? I need to read that today. And I'm just going to read the chorus of it. But it says, God is God and I am not. I can only see a part of the picture he's painting. God is God and I am man. So I'll never understand it all. For only God is God. And that's kind of where we are right now. I don't know why we're going to Cheyenne, Wyoming. I don't know. But I do know that God told us to go. And that's the only reason, and that is enough. You know, that's enough. We're going to say, okay, God, we're going to go. And we don't know what you have for us there. But I know that it's part of your story. And I know that it's going to be good. And so I thank him for that. And I thank him for the time. For our year of wait, we have been here. And God has been so good to bless us with this time here. Because you all have been our family. And you've loved us and cared for us. And have been with us through this time of wait. Because there have been days that it hasn't been easy. But God is good. And he has provided for us in so many ways. It's kind of like you look back and you scratch your head and you're like, how in the world?
Okay. Just checking. I didn't want to, you know, after this, if I hadn't said that, someone would have said, maybe Parker wanted to say something. So I just want to hear that. I just want most of you, I think some of you know this, but all of you don't know this. Mike and Amy came to be Southwest Church right after my wife and I, Kelly and I did, and some others. And the way you see kids, our kids zone all the way down set up, the way you experience summer camp, that schedule, the way things are set up, the way things are ran, Amy was obedient, A, to not sit around and say that's somebody else's responsibility, but to put the hands and the feet of Jesus into action. And God used her to bless us for years and years and years, even when she wasn't here with us, because of her faithfulness years ago. Because what we see at camp, Amy and Mike are part of that. Her husband, Mike, was, now get this, teenagers. Her husband, Mike, and one other lady were the only two people that cooked. They would get up in the morning and cook pancakes for people, do all the meals, just two of them. That's hard for me to grasp right now, because we use a whole army at camp. But the way we see things, Mike and Amy Lane, their faithfulness that continues on, we see the fruit of it every single week here, and daily. And we thank God for them. And we're sending out Parker and Amy this morning. Courtney is staying here. She'll be at Armstrong in the fall. So she is staying here. She's not moving just yet. And I think Parker is looking for donations of ski equipment and winter clothing. All right? Parker has not taken to my jesting of how cold it's going to be in Wyoming. So, but no, we love you guys very much. And of course, we're going to pray them out. And we look forward. If you are not friends with Mike Lane on Facebook, then puts on your heart that's of him to speak out over this family, because we're praying for Mike and Courtney too, not just Parker and Amy. We're praying for all four of them. And I'll just begin. Father, as I anoint my brother or my sisters and my brother in the stead here, as we are interceding for him, God, I just want to say praise be to God for Mike and Amy Lane. Praise be to God for Courtney and Parker Lane. Lord, you have done a mighty work. You really have. God, I know that if Mike was standing here and I ask him, are you the same man you were 19 years ago? You'd say, no way. And that's because of you, God. We love them so very much. And God, I'm thankful that as believers, that Father, yeah, like Amy said, there's a distance physically, but not spiritually, just as close as right next door. And so, Lord, I praise you for that today. Now, Lord, guide our hearts and our minds as we speak over this family.
Lord, I just thank you for our friends, Mike and Amy, and just so much history. There's no way you can go into it all, but I just thank you for Amy's presence this year. But one of the reasons that she was here this year was to encourage me. Through our adoption journey, through going through just saying, yes, Lord, whatever you want, without any further explanation. And just thank you for the body of Christ and the way that you weave each other in and out. Who could have thought that they would have been returned to us for such a time as this? And I just thank you for the faithfulness that she said time and again, we even don't know what he has there, but we know that it's good, and we know that we're going to go. And I just look forward to hearing what it is that you have with us, and we do know that it's good, and that it's going to be just amazing stuff beyond what we could think or even imagine.
God, when they get there, give them favor and comfort and reassurance, knowing that they're walking in your will, giving them joy for the unknown.
Father, we thank you that there is great comfort in knowing that there is no distance in prayer, that our prayers are faster than the speed of light, and this entire country of the world.
Father, we know this is good because it's of you. Father, we also know, truthfully, Lord, there's heartache because we miss people that we love and care about. But Lord, this is also a time of growth for this family. And we say praise be to God for that. And Lord, Parker and Amy, I'm praying that in the middle of Wednesday afternoon that you will feel our love for you. And that, God, as you go before them, as Mike has been out there now for a while, you are using him mightily. And Lord, you're just preparing the next place of ministry for these two ladies. That's all it is. You got the next time. There's somebody or somebodies out there that need these two ladies, just like we've needed them. And you are so faithful and you are so good. And these two are so obedient that they're willing to go where you're calling them. And I say, what a testimony that is. Lord, I ask your protection over Mike and Courtney and Parker and Amy. Lord, I would ask today that their faith would be strong, their hearts would be strong and courageous. And that, Father, they would trust you. They would trust you completely from the time they arrive to the time that you send them somewhere else maybe one day. And Lord, we look forward to all that you're going to do in their lives. And we are blessed. And we say thank you for blessing us with this family. Lord, we love you. We honor you. And Lord, I pray that this will be pleasing to you and honoring. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
As you guys go back to your seats and stuff, we'd like to get those cards and envelopes today. So you can be depositing those at some appropriate location up front or in the back. Anthony presented something here. You want to turn it around and show what it is? Don't you have?
There's another one in the back.
Another one?
Yeah.
Okay. We love you. Did you?
It's supposed to be a happy thing.
It is a happy thing. Those are tears of joy.
I hope so.
Well, as I send you out, go in God's grace. God bless you.